This is the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com. You can call us at 440-579-2531. Send us an email at studio at sportstalknetwork.com or follow us on Twitter at sportstalknet. The Steve Callis Show on sportstalknetwork.com starts now.
Hello again, everybody. This is Steve Callis on The Steve Callis Show. It's Monday, March 12th, 2012. I encourage you to send your emails to studio at sportstalknetwork.com. That's S-T-U-D-I-O at sportstalknetwork.com. Got a lot to do today, as always. We're going to start, of course, with the NCAA tournament selection last night. 68 teams to be knocked down to 64 by Thursday. They call that the first round. I, of course, call it the play-in round because that's what it is. The number one and two seeds, no real surprises in the South. Kentucky number one seed, Duke number two seed in the West. Michigan State off their Big Ten win over Ohio State, a number one seed. Missouri number two. In the East, Syracuse the number one seed, Ohio State the number two seed. And in the Midwest, North Carolina the number one seed and Kansas the number two seed. Interestingly, Kentucky, Syracuse, and North Carolina all lost in their conference tournaments. Of course, if you go back long enough, once upon a time, if you lost in the conference tournament, you could not be in the NCAA, but that was back in the 70s. Now, of course, pretty much everybody who can play gets into this tournament. There are a couple of snubs we'll get to in a bit. But no matter how deep down you go, 64, 65, 68, there's always going to be a few people on the bubble who don't make it, who really do have good cases. But of course, the more you do, and we're going to talk about something the NCAA got half right in terms of 68 teams, the more you have teams in, the less argument you really have if you can't make. Now, there's 31 automatic bids, so you're really talking about 37 teams, not 64, 65, or 68. But if you can't make a clear case to be in, for example, the top 35, it's hard to argue when you're 38th or 39th or 40th. But in any event, Final Four in New Orleans, of course. I found it interesting that Kentucky got beat. We'll get into that. North Carolina got beat by Florida State, Kentucky by Vanderbilt. Syracuse got beat in the Big East tournament. Michigan State and Ohio State played for the Big Ten. Michigan State, and that's probably what made them, they are the fourth number one seed, Kentucky the first number one seed. Michigan State got the final number one, obviously, because they beat Ohio State in the Big Ten final. So, as always, makes for an interesting tournament. Fill out your brackets, et cetera, et cetera. I did want to talk just briefly, and we'll talk about this more during the week in terms of Final Fours, et cetera. But tomorrow night, Western Kentucky plays Mississippi Valley State at 6:30, followed by Iona against BYU. Now, Western Kentucky, Mississippi Valley State is just a 16 against the 16 game, the winner to get hammered by Kentucky. I think that's a wasted game. Iona BYU, just like VCU last year, you don't expect one of these teams to go to the Final Four. But the playing games of teams that are fighting for at-large bids as opposed to the automatic bids, 16 seeds, those are exciting games. There should be more of those. That's Tuesday. Wednesday, Lamar against Vermont, 16 against 16. The loser to get hammered by North Carolina. And then the second game at 9 on Wednesday night, Cal against South Florida. They're both charted in as the number 12 seed. The winner becomes a 12. Iona BYU, the winner becomes a 14. That game will be 9 o'clock Wednesday. And here's what I was talking about. And when the tournament went from 64 to 65, I wrote a number of articles on this. And again, today the NCAA gets it half right. You should really have all the 16s in as 16s, because they're going to lose anyway. The notion that you have a playing game, and these people now say, oh, yes, if Western Kentucky beats Mississippi Valley State, oh, yeah, we won a game in the NCAA tournament. Well, not really. Not really. The better thing to do would be to have all the 16s as 16s, just put them in against the number ones, and take the last four teams who were in and the last four teams who were out. Like this year, for example, Seton Hall, Drexel, those kinds of teams made good cases. Washington won the Pac-12 regular season. Admittedly, the Pac-12 was bad this year, but Washington doesn't get a bid. Drexel, with 27 wins, wins 19 out of their last 20. You should take the last four teams out and have them go on the road. Give those four last four teams in, give them home games. And if the last four teams out got shafted so badly, as everyone says now, Seton Hall, Washington, Marshall, Drexel, if they got shafted so badly, they should be able to go on the road and beat the team that was picked in front of them, if they're that good. I think that's the best way to do it. Now, you do have two games, Iona, BYU, Cal, South Florida, played at neutral sites, where the winner of that game goes in. Iona, BYU as a 14, Cal, South Florida as a 12. But to me, it would be much better, because the other two games are just a waste of time. 16-16, 16-16. Those games are a waste of time. Who really cares who wins those games unless you have some connection to the program? But if you had four games where the last four in hosted the last four out, A, you'd have four sellouts. B, you'd have four games worth watching as opposed to only two games worth watching. And again, after what VCU did last year, you'll recall VCU was in the playing game and went all the way to the Final Four. So it's not like I can say the 16s are going to lose to the 1s, because the 16s always lose to the 1s. You don't know if an Iona or a BYU, or frankly more likely a Cal or a South Florida, are going to make a run. You don't know if those winners will make a run in the tournament, but you can't say, oh, they're at the bottom, they're going to lose because of what VCU did last year. And you can say that for the next 10 years now. The teams that are in the playing games that are next 16 versus 16 obviously have a shot to go a long way, excuse me, because VCU already did that. So understand what you're watching tomorrow night. Again, very few people will pay attention to the first games Tuesday and Wednesday night at 6:30. But yes, Iona, BYU, Cal, South Florida, four teams, the winners, two winners have a chance to at least win a few games in the NCAA tournament. The most interesting quote I heard from a coach, Bruiser Flint of Drexel, who's done an excellent job there, used to be the coach up at UMass. Here was his quote when his 27-6 team, winners of 19 of the last 20, obviously didn't win their conference for the automatic bid. Here's what Bruiser Flint, and again, I admire his honesty, but I question why he would say it, even though I think he's right. Quote, there must be a lot of people on the basketball committee who don't know much about basketball. And on the one hand, that's a great quote. On the other hand, my guess is the people on the committee have long memories, and his team better not be on the bubble next year. His team better win their conference championship next year, because if he's on the bubble again, and he had a great case this year. I mean, they won 19 in a row, lost in their conference championship, 27-6 overall. So come on, they went from 8-5 to 27-6, and they talk about how playing well at the end of the season means something. Well, whatever you take, last 10, last 15, last 20, you know, they're either 9-1 or 14-1 or 19-1, but they don't get in. You appreciate the guy's honesty, and Bruiser Flint, I think, is a good coach. He's a good recruiter. He did a good job. He's done a good job at Drexel. But for him to say that still kind of points out, see, I would pick Drexel and Seton Hall, frankly, as those two teams. You would have to add two more teams to do what I had suggested. When you put the four 16s back into the pool, obviously two of the teams that are already in will be out. So it would probably be these four teams, Iona, BYU, Cal, and South Florida, as the last four at-large bids in, and then they could play four other teams on the road. They could play four other teams at home. I'm sorry. They would have the home court advantage. I think that would be much better than the way it is now. Plus, it would give these complaining bubble teams who have complaints. Again, you're always going to have teams who have complaints, legitimate. But you would give teams like Drexel and Seton Hall a chance to win their way in. And if the teams that the committee picked were so good, then they can certainly win at home. The hurdle for the teams on the outside looking in would obviously be to win on the road. And that would be much more fascinating than watching 16s play each other for a chance to get killed by the top teams in the country. The Big East gets 9 in. Obviously, Seton Hall would have been the 10th. A lot of people don't think the Big East was good enough to get 10. But generally speaking, to me, the conferences, the power conferences, were down this year, and I think the committee sent a message by not giving Washington the Pac-12 champion during the regular season a bid. The Big East has 9, the Big 12 has 6, the Big 10 has 6, the ACC has 5, the Pac-12 only has 2, just to give you a reference in comparison. So the tournament to me doesn't start till Thursday. They have the play-in games Tuesday, Wednesday. They actually call those the first round now. That's ridiculous. But again, you know, it's like exhibition games are called preseason games. It's like used cars are called certified pre-owned vehicles. That's just the world we live in. But the play-in games are Tuesday night, 2 games, Wednesday night, 2 games, and then the tournament starts for real, in my eyes, in what they now apparently call the second round on Thursday and Friday. A few college games to look at quickly from yesterday. Florida State, and we've talked about Leonard Hamilton for the last month or so. Leonard Hamilton, the coach of Florida State, did a good job at Miami and is now doing a great job at Florida State. Florida State beats North Carolina to win the ACC championship. Florida State, 85. North Carolina, 82. Michael Snair, the sharpshooter for Florida, leads the Seminoles with 18 points. North Carolina, Tyler Zeller had 19 and 12 rebounds. Harrison Barnes, 23 and 7 rebounds. Not enough. Kendall Marshall, the all-time assist leader at North Carolina, 15 and 9 assists. But not enough as Florida State wins their first ACC title. And again, hats off to Leonard Hamilton. We've talked about what a good coach he is. And he gets the job done as Florida State wins their first ACC title. In the SEC championship game, number one Kentucky stunned by Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt 71, Kentucky 64. Now again, once upon a time you had to win the conference championship to get in, but that ended long ago. So North Carolina knows they're essentially going to be a number one seed even if they lost that game. Kentucky knows they're going to be a number one seed even if they lose, and they do lose to Vanderbilt 71-64. Festus Azili for Vanderbilt, 17 points, 6 rebounds. Taylor with 18 points, 11 rebounds. Jenkins with 17 points, 7 rebounds. Vanderbilt at 24-10, now looking for any, you know, trying to make a long run now after they beat the number one team in the country. For Kentucky, they were led by Miller with 16 points, Davis with 12 points, 10 rebounds, Jones with 12 points, 11 rebounds, but not enough. Kentucky finishes the regular season at 32-2, Vanderbilt at 24-10. I should have told you Florida State at 24-9, and Carolina, another number one seed, at 29-5. Finally, in the Big Ten championship game, Michigan State beats Ohio State 68-64. I think Ohio State, we'll get into that more in the next few days. I think Ohio State can beat Syracuse in that East bracket and get to a Final Four. I picked them to win the whole thing at the beginning of the year. A little concerned about that now, but Michigan State, a tough team. They were led in the Big Ten championship game. They were led by Brandon Wood with 21. Sullinger, the Ohio State big man, had 18 and 9 rebounds, but Michigan State gets the job done 68-64, and that's what put them over the top to get a number one seed. Both teams, Michigan State and Ohio State, with 27 and 7 records. Michigan State now also has a number one seed, picked by a lot of people to go. You know, Tom Izzo coach team, he's been to the Final Four all three times he was a number one seed previously. This is the fourth time since he's been coaching at Michigan State that they're a number one seed, and certainly a lot of people are picking them to go to the Final Four. Again, we'll get into all of that in the next few days. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Think Fish with Frank Reese on Blue Zoo Radio, Sunday nights at 8 p.m. exclusively on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
These days, you hear them everywhere. Get out of debt quick promises asking you to call right now to solve all your credit problems. But please, listen carefully. Don't make a huge mistake. There is a better way. Trinity Debt Management. Many debt settlement companies have created a dangerous misunderstanding. Simply put, debt settlement often ends up destroying your credit and ultimately may lead to asset seizure and bankruptcy. There is a better way out. Trinity Debt Management can show show you how to pay off your debt, preserve your good name, save thousands in interest, and in the end, actually improve your credit rating, not destroy it. Say no to debt settlement. Say yes to debt management. Trinity Debt Management. Make the right choice and become debt-free for keeps. Call 1-800-780-0646. That's 1-800-780-0646.
This is a referral service. Calls will be routed to an independent referral insurance agency.
Listen up, America!
Listen up, America. I'm talking to anyone with or without a pre-existing medical condition. A health insurance hotline has now been established to provide health insurance for all Americans, even uninsured Americans with pre-existing conditions. Call now for a free, no-obligation quote on affordable health plans available to you. 1-800-690-6110. I repeat, this is a hotline providing free quotes for affordable health plans. It's for anyone without health insurance, even if you have pre-existing conditions. Medical costs are the number one cause of bankruptcy and financial distress. All uninsured Americans are strongly urged to call this National Health Insurance Hotline right away to protect yourself and your family from an unexpected variety of medical costs that could cause financial hardship. Call the Health Insurance Hotline right now for a free quote at 1-800-690-6110. That's 1-800-690-6110. Call 1-800-690-6110.
You're listening to thesportstalknetwork.com.
Are you an inventor, or do you know an inventor who would like to attempt to have an invention or idea patented and submitted to industry? For free information on how to proceed, call toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
InventHelp, one of America's largest invention companies, has inventors' information you can have for free. Record your invention's date of origination, plus get an information brochure and other material of interest to new inventors. Learn how you can get your free information just by dialing toll-free.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
Even if you only have an idea for improving an existing product or don't know where to go with it, you'll want this free inventor's information. It shows how InventHelp may assist you in trying to patent your invention and submit it to industry. It's a free call, so call InventHelp right now.
Call 1-800-330-2345. That's 1-800-330-2345.
SportsTalkNetwork.com, the internet broadcast giant for sports talk and entertainment programming, now features market-specific sports sites in over one dozen cities, including New York, Chicago, Los Angeles, Cleveland, and Canada. And we're not done yet. More markets launching soon. Your cities, your teams, your passion. We are SportsTalkNetwork.com.
In these hard economic times, you've got to do whatever you can to save money. One of our biggest expenses can be our cars, especially when unexpected repair bills hit. Not anymore. If you have a car, truck, or SUV, you can stop paying for all covered repairs. That's right. You might not have to pay a penny more than you want for repairs. Just call 1-877-246-0508 right now to see if you qualify. Repairs for your engine, transmission, and much more can become a thing of the past if your vehicle has less than 130,000 miles. Just call 877-246-0508 today and get your car protected, saving you hundreds, even thousands of dollars. Phone lines are open right now. See if your vehicle qualifies. Just call 1-877-246-0508 to get your car protected today. Call 877-246-0508. That's 1-877-246-0508. Never pay for covered car repairs again. Just call 877-246-0508. That's 877-246-0508.
With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in Square D, Eaton Cutler Hammer, Siemens Automation, Banner Engineering, ASCO Valves, Bussmann and Faraz Fuses, and coming very soon are more than 5,000 line items of Allen Bradley. SupplyLineElectric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show. We'll get to the NBA and the NHL a little later. Want to switch now to the NFL. A lot going on. As you know, Peyton Manning cut loose, now on the Peyton Manning tour, if you will, and apparently the reports are he doesn't really want to do what Reggie White did years ago and, you know, make go to 10 different teams and be publicly wined and dined by a lot of teams. But he did go to Denver on Friday, where he spent a lot of time with John Elway, you know, Hall of Fame quarterback to future Hall of Fame quarterback, if you will. He did go to Arizona on Sunday, spent 6.5 hours there. The part of the group that greeted him, in addition to Ken Wisenhunt, the coach, was all-world receiver Larry Fitzgerald. And, of course, Wisenhunt has a good track record with veteran quarterbacks. You remember he took Kurt Warner into his system and, you know, essentially got them to the Super Bowl. Warner did essentially what he wanted to. Kevin Cobb, their present quarterback, has a $7 million bonus due on Saturday. Manning originally said that he had wanted to make his decision by tomorrow afternoon, because that's when the free agency starts for everybody, but it doesn't appear he's going to be able to do that. But the field has apparently been narrowed. Kansas City and Seattle seem to be out. The Jets are definitely out. You probably heard over the weekend that the Jets gave Mark Sanchez a 3-year extension, and that's cutting both ways in New York. Frankly, Sanchez, who did some things in terms of winning road games in the playoffs, 4 in his first 2 years, that no quarterback in the history of the NFL had done. Frankly, when you take a step back and look, it was pretty amazing. And I thought that Sanchez played well. I thought a lot of it had to do with play calling, though, and obviously this year, this past season, it didn't happen. 2011, I should say, didn't happen for Sanchez. As I wrote a number of times, and we discussed the arrow on the improvement meter for Mark Sanchez in year 3 did not go up. In fact, it probably didn't go sideways. It probably went down a little bit. So, having said that, the Jets are now committed to Sanchez for another 5 years, giving him a 3-year extension. I don't think the Jets, I think they might have peaked. I wrote that after their first trip to the AFC Championship game. It may not get better than that. They did go to the AFC Championship game the next year, fell off a cliff this past season, finished 8-8. I don't personally think Mark Sanchez is the Super Bowl answer for the Jets, although a lot of people are comparing his first 3 years to Eli Manning's first 3 years and saying, look, he did a lot more than Eli Manning did. And I guess you can say that statistically. But again, when it came to Manning, and this is why the Giants and Ernie, of course, he wanted him, he's a Manning. So you have the great Peyton Manning, you have the great father Archie Manning in the Hall of Fame, despite playing for a terrible New Orleans Saints team. So a lot of that had to do with Manning being a Manning, and obviously he's proven that now not once but twice in Super Bowls against the certainly the first time unbeatable Patriots, and certainly this past time they came from 9-7 to win the Super Bowl against a very good Patriots team, not nearly as good as they were 4 years ago. But the point being, I don't think Sanchez is an Eli Manning, and you can put up their numbers side by side the first 3 years. I'm not sure exactly what that means. At the end of the day, it's do you get to the Super Bowl, do you win the Super Bowl? So the Peyton Manning show goes on. Right now it looks like the two leaders are Denver and Arizona. He has not met, Manning has not met with the Miami Dolphins, although as you probably know by now, he has a home in Miami. He's working out in Miami. Reggie Wayne, his favorite receiver still playing, lives in Miami, so Manning is working out with him. And it would seem that the Dolphins are going to have to decide very quickly whether they want to make a run at Manning or not, because I think Manning wants to make this decision sooner rather than later. And Miami has to decide on who their quarterback's going to be forward-looking. Arizona has to make a decision on Kevin Cobb by this Saturday. At least Adam Schefter at ESPN thinks Denver is in the best place because they have Tim Tebow under contract. Obviously, if Manning showed up there, he'd be the starter. The question would be, would they make Tebow the backup and groom Tebow for another few years? Would Tebow go for that? Would they trade Tebow? Would they release Tebow? You know, is he still viewed to be, or is he viewed to be a very good NFL quarterback? He, you know, seemed to win with smoke and mirrors. Then he torched the Steelers in a playoff game. You can't take that away from him. passed for over 300 yards against the best pass defense in the league. So a lot going on. It looks like right now, though, it's either Denver or Arizona, maybe with a chance for Miami. But a lot of other teams are dropping out. Seattle tried to get him to come out there. He wouldn't go. Kansas City has dropped out. The Jets have dropped out. Now, the Tennessee Titans might try and get into the mix now. But Adams, their owner, said he's trying to set up a meeting where Manning comes to Tennessee. But Manning did look, you know, Pedro Gomez reported for ESPN. He said if you judge it on body language, they did have a video of Manning and Wisenhunt seemingly laughing it up in Arizona. He was out there for a long time. They did bring Larry Fitzgerald. I don't know if there's a better wide receiver in football today than Larry Fitzgerald. They did bring him in for the meeting, Peyton Manning to Larry Fitzgerald. That sounds awful good. But Manning, and I wrote this article that's up at sportstalknetwork.com, I don't see where Manning goes on any of these teams to really become a Super Bowl favorite. You know, Denver, Arizona. Denver was 500 last year. Arizona, not a very good team. Miami, you're going to go to Miami and go up to New England or the Jets or Buffalo in December. You know, Manning has always been a dome quarterback. His cold weather feats up in New England, not very good, frankly. 9-10 in the playoffs. Protected by the dome, I think. Not that he's not a great quarterback when he's not in the dome. It's just he's not the god he appears to be in a dome. So they've narrowed it down to Denver and Arizona. Maybe Miami will get involved. And again, I think the teams he would have to go to where he's not going to go are teams like Houston, who is committed to Matt Schaub. Maybe the Ravens, who are committed to Joe Flacco. It seems to me the teams are going to have to be a little better than Denver or Arizona or Miami. Does he make them playoff teams? And again, Denver was, absolutely. Does he make Miami a playoff team in the AFC East? Well, that's an interesting question because that's a very tough division. But does he make any of those teams a Super Bowl winning team? I certainly don't think so. We'll have to wait and see what happens, of course. But the Peyton Manning watch is on. He wanted to make the decision by tomorrow afternoon because free agents, you can start signing free agents Tuesday at 4 o'clock. And we'll just have to wait and see what Peyton Manning decides. But the front runners right now certainly are Denver and Arizona. One other thing in the NFL, Randy Moss is working out today with the 49ers. He worked out last week, as you'll recall, for the New Orleans Saints. Moss wants back in the league. I really thought the Patriots might take a shot at him. I thought they had discussed with him last year a one-year deal, and he wanted the two. I thought that was the reason he essentially retired. To me, it was a mistake for both parties. Patriots, as good as they were, never had a deep threat. Randy Moss, as good as he was, didn't play last year. Maybe health-wise, that helps him a little. The reports are he can still run, and really, if you have a Randy Moss who can run, you have a deep threat, whether you use him or not. They're going to have to send two guys when he goes those go routes. They're going to have to send two guys with him to cover him on those go routes, and that would open things up underneath for any team. So Moss working out with the 49ers now, already worked out with the Saints. And we'll see where he winds up. But I think he's going to help any team he goes to. Yes, he could be a problem in the locker room. So you might need a strong coach or a strong leadership in the locker room, which, of course, the Patriots had. But we'll just have to see where he winds up. But he'll wind up somewhere. Randy Moss working out today with the 49ers. Want to switch to the NBA now before we get to the games. Dwight Howard in Orlando still wants out. Orlando hasn't decided yet whether or not they will trade him. The trade deadline in the NBA is 3 o'clock Eastern time on Thursday. Representatives of the Magic met with Howard and his representatives on Friday, essentially trying to talk him into staying. Again, I don't see if Dwight Howard's goal is to win an NBA title. I just don't see how that's going to happen at Orlando. Sometimes they wake up and score, you know, or don't wake up and score 80 points in a game, 85 points in a game. It's hard for them to score points at time. So I don't think Dwight Howard's going to be in Orlando next year. I think they're going to have to trade him. But if they do trade him, it's going to have to happen in the next 72 hours. They seem committed to keeping him, trying to make a run in the East this year, trying to convince him to stay. Again, I'm not sure who they're going to bring in there. They brought in guys in the last year or two, Jason Richardson, Turkoglu. They brought in guys to try and surround Dwight Howard with good three-point shooters, and frankly, it just hasn't worked. You know, at times they look like world beaters, but at other times they score 75, 80, 85 points in a game, and that's just not going to get it. You know, I've heard in New York, of course, the Knicks would love to get Dwight Howard. I don't know if they'd package like a Tyson Chandler and Carmelo. The Knicks are a disaster now. We'll get into them in a little bit. I don't know if they would ever do such a thing, but the problem for the Knicks now is they have 10 guys who can play, but you really can't play 10 guys in the NBA. And I think the Knicks are proving that right now, frankly. Carmelo Anthony coming back hasn't really meshed with Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin has come back to the pack after being, in my opinion, the MVP of the NBA in February. And as I discussed, and I have a couple articles up about Lin as well, the only thing I thought that would leave his game possibly was his shooting, and that has certainly left his game. I think he's shooting around 29% in the last nine games. But Lin has great court vision. I think he's an NBA point guard here to stay. I think he's a good to very good NBA point guard. Yes, he has to cut down on his turnovers. Yes, he has to shoot less. But if you watch the game yesterday, and we'll talk about it in a minute, he had the ball in his hands with 4 seconds left in the shot clock a number of times. So he had to take ill-advised shots that he had no opportunity to take. But back to Dwight Howard. Well, Howard signed with the Nets in the offseason. Howard obviously in a good spot, because he doesn't have to commit to a team long-term. Now, presumably Orlando won't trade him to a team long-term unless he's willing to sign there. And then the Nets come into the fold there. Darren Williams, again, if the Nets can show up in Brooklyn next year from New Jersey with Darren Williams and Dwight Howard, that's unbelievable. But if they don't get Dwight Howard, it says that Darren Williams is leaving, maybe back to Dallas where he's from. And if that happens, then the Nets, they could show up in Brooklyn and nobody's going to care, because without Darren Williams and another superstar, the Nets are going to be terrible. Do want to get to a few NBA games. The headliner yesterday, Celtics out in Los Angeles to play the Lakers. Lakers great at home, as you know, bad on the road. Lakers wind up beating the Celtics. Lakers 97, Celtics 94. Kobe being Kobe had 26 points and 7 assists, but it really was Andrew Bynum who was the key figure in the game, 20 points, 14 rebounds, Gasol 13 and 13, a walking double-double, Meta World Peace finally scoring a little, 4 for 8 from the field, 3 for 5 from 3 for 14 points, and again, that's what the Lakers need, but they're a very good team at home. The Celtics played well and had a lead. Rajon Rondo, 24 points, 10 assists. He's the star of that team now. I mean, he's been the star of that team, I think, for this year and last year as well. When they won the title, he was very, very good. It was the big three plus Rondo. Now I think it's Rondo plus the big three. Ray Allen with 17, but not enough. Garnett, 14 and 11. The Lakers get the win. Lakers, 97. Celtics, 94. Lakers move to 25 and 16. Celtics drop to 2 games over 500 at 21 and 19. We'll get to the other NBA games after these messages. This is the Steve Kallis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Get your college sports news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion.
You want to put your nest egg somewhere where it will grow. Gold has given investors a 300% return over the last 10 years. You want an investment that's safe. Gold American Eagles are guaranteed by the U.S. government for weight and purity. You want to work with someone you can trust. Blanchard & Company was founded over 35 years ago. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. You want an investment that's liquid in case you need your money fast. Well, Blanchard guarantees to buy back any gold you invest in with them at the current market rates anytime you want to sell. And you want someone you can talk to ask questions and find out what's right for you. Blanchard has set up a special toll-free line to give you a free one-on-one consultation and information with a gold expert. Just call 800-309-5530. That's 800-309-5530. For free gold information, call now. 800-309-5530. 800-309-5530.
Get your Major League Baseball news when you want it 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com. Your cities, your teams, your passion. With nearly 30 years of experience in the electrical surplus and distribution business, Supply Line Electric has now taken its business onto the internet with a completely automated website for inventory control and order entry. Specializing in motor starters, contactors, coils, contact kits, push buttons, pilot lights, photo and proximity sensors, and many more items, including obsolete and hard-to-find parts. Visit us today at SupplyLineElectric.com. And don't forget that all orders ship the same business day. Supply Line Electric.com, your 24/7 distributor of electrical, motor control, and automation parts. Get your NBA news when you want it, 24/7, online and on demand. SportsTalkNetwork.com, your cities, your teams, your passion.
Great job, guys. We just got certified loose slots by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Yeah, but George, we're so tired.
We've been giving out so much money, and look, Jackpot's arm hurts because of all the pulls.
Well, guys, don't do it for me. Do it for our guests. Get back out there.
All right.
All right? Hands in.
Palm slots pay lots.
Palm slots are certified up to 36.85% looser than the Las Vegas Strip and local jurisdictions by the Las Vegas Advisor.
Want to know what's going on in the world of professional wrestling and sports entertainment?
It's still real to me, damn it!
Join Paul Belfie and Mike Pitak.
You are a freaking lunatic!
For Pro Wrestling Insider.
Awesome!
On SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Listen, if you're considering buying hardwood flooring, don't do anything until you've written down this number and received your free Lumber Liquidators catalog.
The flooring was high quality with an unbeatable price tag.
Call in the next 10 minutes to get your free catalog.
What I bought at Lumber Liquidators is a vastly higher quality than flooring I had installed 6 years ago, and for a fraction of the cost.
So if you want great hardwood flooring at unbeatable prices, trust Lumber Liquidators. We buy direct from the mills. Call right now to get our flooring guide and catalog absolutely free. It's filled with top quality hardwood flooring, including solid hardwoods, laminates, and bamboos, and even Bellawood pre-finished flooring with a 100-year transferable warranty. The same floor Bob Vila has in his home. This free catalog is full of tips, ideas, and our flooring project list to make your buying decisions easy. Hurry, call right now to get a copy of this free guide and catalog. Call 877-407-9413 to get your free copy now. 877-407-9413. 877-407-9413.
Welcome back to the Steve Callis Show on SportsTalkNetwork.com.
Yeah, we're back on the Steve Callis Show, back to the NBA, the Magic playing at home again with all these Dwight Howard things milling around. The Pacers come in, the Magic get the win, Magic 107, Pacers 94. Dwight Howard, what can you say, 30 points, 13 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, 1 block. I mean, the guy's unbelievable. J.J. Redick, 18 points and a season-high 9 assists. Orlando has a good team, but I don't think it's a championship team. Again, they need another star down there. It hasn't quite worked out. You know, they have some good players, but they just don't have enough surrounding Dwight Howard. The Pacers have a good team, 23-16. Orlando, 27-15 now. They have a good team, but they don't have that star either. George, 22 points, 8 rebounds. Granger, the closest thing to me they have to a star, 18 points, 5 rebounds. Hibbert, their big man, 10 points, but only 2 rebounds. They don't quite have the power, in my opinion, either. Tyler Hansbrough off the bench, 19 points. But Orlando gets the job done. Orlando 107. Indiana 94. Another fascinating game. You know, the talk in New York was the Knicks were on the road for that terrible, tough road trip where they lost all 4 games, including the 4th to Milwaukee, which without Bogut shouldn't have been such a terribly tough game. But they come home to play the 76ers, a team they're trying to catch in their division. But the 76ers, frankly, hammer the Knicks. They get 38 points in the third quarter. 38 points in the third quarter. Outscore the Knicks by 14, wind up winning by 12. 76ers 104, Knicks 94. What can you say? Evan Turner has really come of age after, you know, number two pick, was getting abused, was being criticized, having a good year now, 40 minutes yesterday, 24 points, 15 rebounds, had a very good day. Lou Williams was unbelievable off the bench. I don't know if you've seen this guy play, but my goodness, he launches line drive threes and makes them, 10 for 19 from the floor, including 3 for 5 from 3, 28 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists for Williams. He's unbelievable. Iguodala, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists. He just stuffs the stats. Elton Brand, still hanging around, 13 points, 8 rebounds. Jrue Holiday, pretty good young point guard, 8 points, 4 rebounds. Philadelphia has a very solid team. Now, the Knicks, you know, what can you say? They've been terrible since Carmelo's come back. Is it his fault? Hard to say. Only 5 for 13 yesterday. He did have 22 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists. Jeremy Lin has come down to earth. 14 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds yesterday. Another 6 turnovers, only 5 for 18 from the floor. And again, everybody agrees he shouldn't take that many shots, but if the ball comes back to him and there's 4 seconds left on the shot clock, what can he do? That happened a number of times yesterday. Landry Fields, 13 points, 3 rebounds. J.R. Smith off the bench, 12 points. The Knicks are playing 9 or 10 guys. It's going to be very hard to do. I said half-jokingly, give them Tyson Chandler and Carmelo down to Miami for Dwight Howard. And I don't think that's such a crazy deal from either side if Orlando's not going to keep Howard. The Knicks should make a 2-for-1, 2 very good players for somebody really, really good, preferably a guy with some defensive presence. But Chandler has a wrist injury now. I know he doesn't finish well, but he's been terrible finishing lately. I think it's as much the wrist injury as his own inability. Jared Jeffries is out of the lineup, so they are, and I say this laughingly, only playing 9. But they have, when Jeffries is healthy, 10 legitimate NBA players. Anthony Lynn, Fields, Stoudemire, Chandler, J.R. Smith, Novak, Shumpert, Baron Davis, and Jared Jeffries. That's not so good in the NBA. But can Lynn mesh with Anthony? Look, they're trying. But this was a bad loss yesterday. They're at home. They're playing the Bulls tonight, I think. We'll get into the TV later. The Bulls obviously going to be a very tough matchup. Derrick Rose is going to be out to get Jeremy Lynn. These point guards are lining up to try and embarrass Jeremy Lin, and frankly, I think some teams are trying to hurt him. Certainly, the scouting report is to be, and you've heard this, be very physical with him. Well, he takes a beating. And anybody who tells you he's getting the calls is full of garbage, because this kid gets pounded. Sometimes he gets a call, sometimes he doesn't. But Lin is, in my opinion, as I've said all along, a good to very good NBA point guard. He's going to be okay. He is not the reason the Knicks are losing. His stats have come down to earth. They're still very good stats. I'll say it again. In my opinion, he was the MVP of the NBA in February when he burst on the scene. But the Knicks are now down to 18 and 23. Philly up to 25 and 17. Obviously, the Knicks are going to have to win a bunch of games to get not only into the playoff race, but they want to be 6th or 5th or 4th or 3rd. Nobody wants to be 8th and play and 7th and play Miami or Chicago. So that's the goal for the Knicks. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it, frankly. They haven't really meshed, and I'll say it again, playing 10 guys is just too much. And they have 10 guys who deserve to play. So they're really going to have to decide what they're going to do. Philly 106, Knicks 94 in the Garden. A very good win for Philly. Of course, Doug Collins doing a great job there in Philadelphia. One other interesting game to talk about, and we'll just sum up the others quickly. Warriors go to the Staples Center. Lakers play in the afternoon. Clippers play at night. Warriors 97, Clippers 93. Monte Ellis, 21 points, 11 assists, 6 rebounds. Wright with 20 points and 5 rebounds. David Lee, 18 points, 10 rebounds. I mean, they have a pretty good team, Golden State, and they have a good young coach in Mark Jackson. Again, to me, they're in the wrong division, but they beat the Clippers yesterday, Golden State 97-93. Golden State moves to 17-21. The Clippers dropped 23-16. Griffin, 27 points, 12 rebounds, 3 assists. Chris Paul, 23 points, 2 rebounds, 5 assists. Paul was playing with one of those masks that Kobe's playing with now, because the other night against San Antonio, Chris Paul had a nasal fracture, so he had to play with a mask very similar to that of Kobe's. Did that affect him? Well, again, he had, 23 points, 5 assists, so he played 35 minutes. But the Warriors get a good win on the road against the Clippers at the Staples Center. Warriors 97, Clippers 93. Few other games to talk about. We'll just go over them quickly in the NBA. The Grizzlies beat the Nuggets 94-91. O.J. Mayo 22 for the Grizzlies. Grizzlies move to 24-16. Denver drops to 23-19. Again, this is all done without Zach Randolph, so give the Grizzlies a lot of credit. Mayo leads the team with 22 and 8 assists. A couple of other games quickly. The Hawks beat the Kings 106-99. Smith with 28 points. Cousins for the Hawks. Cousins leads the Kings with 28 points and 12 rebounds. The Cavaliers beat the Rockets in Cleveland 118-107. Antoine Jameson with 28. Luis Scola with 30 for the Rockets. Not enough. Cavaliers up to 16-23. The Rockets drop to 22-20. And finally, the Bucks beat the Raptors 105-99 for the Bucks. Ilyasova with 31 points, 12 rebounds. Obviously, in Bogut's absence, he's really come to play. DeRozan with 21 points for the Raptors. Bucks get the win. They move to 17-24. Raptors take the loss. They move to 13. They drop to 13-28. A few miscellaneous things before we get to the NHL and the TV and a couple of other things. In golf yesterday at Doral, the WGC Cadillac Championship was won by Justin Rose, 16 under for the tournament. Bubba Watson finished second. He actually had a birdie putt to tie Rose and force a playoff. He made an incredible shot between two tees, if you saw the tournament or saw the highlights. He made an incredible shot between two trees to give himself about a 13, 14-foot birdie putt to tie Rose and force a playoff, but he just missed the putt after making a spectacular shot on the shot before. Watson settles for second. Rory McIlroy was third. Of course, the big news, because everybody always leads with Tiger Woods, I thought it's more important to tell you who won the tournament first. Maybe I'm wrong, but Tiger Woods withdrew. He was plus two on the front nine yesterday. He was not any threat to win the tournament, but he withdrew after his first shot on the par five 12th hole. He apparently has strained. He has a leg injury. He strains his left Achilles. He's going to have it evaluated. You know, it is amazing. Of course, when Tiger Woods drops out of a tournament, the cameras follow him, but it's amazing to me that the guy literally, apparently, drops out of the tournament, walks off the course, goes to the parking lot, gets his car, and just drives away, because it's Tiger Woods. They actually had a helicopter following him, taping him driving away from the tournament. And again, just a little bizarre, but we've talked about this for over a year now. To me, Tiger Woods has numerous problems, not the least of which is his health. I've always maintained, and we've discussed it, that he just doesn't have the ability to live the way he was living in the past. I always thought that gave him some kind of, adrenaline rush, some kind of living on the edge feeling. But he's got a ton of other problems now. He hasn't putted well this year at all. Obviously, his health is an issue. He's had four surgeries on that left leg. He's not getting any younger. There's really no fear factor on the tour now. When Tiger Woods shows up, the players show him respect, but there's certainly nobody afraid of him anymore. Again, we've talked about it for as long as I've been doing this show now, over a year, that he's not getting to 19 to beat Jack Nicklaus. He's not getting to 18. I think he'll at some point be able to win a tournament, maybe a major here and there, just like any other golfer. But the days of Tiger Woods being Tiger Woods are long gone, since he hit that fire hydrant, frankly, outside his house that Thanksgiving weekend. So Justin Rose gets the win, Bubba Watson second, Tiger Woods withdraws. Now the Masters starts on April 5th. Obviously, today is March 12th, so the plan apparently is for Tiger Woods to try and get healthy, to have it checked out this week. Presumably, he'll have to do some rehab. He's going to try and get healthy. Last year, he missed two majors. Tiger Woods really now, to me, is just living for majors. But again, I don't think he's going to get there in terms of beating Jack Nicklaus. And I think people are starting to believe that since he, frankly, can't win on the regular tour, never mind win on a major. National Hockey League yesterday, a few interesting games. What can you say about the Pittsburgh Penguins? Sidney Crosby skating again, did not play this weekend, might play at the end of this coming week. He does have clearance for contact again. You'll recall he missed a ton of time, came back, played for about 10 days, then missed more time again, but now back skating with the Penguins in practice, cleared for contact. But he has not played yet. He could have played, at least in theory, yesterday against the Bruins. Pittsburgh decided to keep him out again, and Pittsburgh, without Sidney Crosby, gets the win. Pittsburgh 5, Boston 2. Pittsburgh gets 3 goals in the first period. Aaron Masham gets his 4th. Matt Niskanen gets his 4th, and then James Neal gets his 31st of the year from Evgeny Malkin. So 3-0 essentially ended it right there. Krejci would score his 19th. David Krejci is 19th and 20th for the Bruins, but Kunitz scores his 20th for Pittsburgh, and Pascal Dupuis closes the scoring in the third period with his 18th. Pittsburgh 5, Boston 2. Good game for Fleury, 34 saves, 36 shots on goal for Boston. And Marty Turco, who was just signed to replace Tuukka Rask, who's been injured, the backup goalie for Boston, he started against Pittsburgh yesterday, took the loss. Penguins 5, Boston 2. Again, I still think Penguins, a very good team and a playoff team without Crosby, but if they want to be a Stanley Cup team, to me, they need to get Sidney Crosby. The Islanders play the Rangers in that eternal Islanders-Rangers rivalry at the Garden yesterday. In overtime, the Rangers win 4-3. Now, the Rangers outshoot the Islanders 36-19. Lundqvist in net for the Rangers, Nabokov for the Islanders. The Rangers get the win. John Tavares, the young star of the Islanders, scores his 28th of the year to open the scoring. Brad Richards came back and scored 2 goals for the Rangers, his 20th and 21st of the year. Matt Molson, another young star for the Islanders, they do have some good young players, scores his 29th. Brian Boyle ties up the game in the third period with his 6th for the Rangers at 3. And then in overtime, Marian Gaborik, who's having an unbelievable year, scores his 33rd with assists from Richards and Derek Stepan. Richards with 2 goals and an assist, playing like the leader the Rangers thought he would be, sets up Gaborik for the game winner at 4:54 of overtime, obviously 6 seconds before they would go to a shootout. Rangers 4, Islanders 3, a very good win for the Rangers as they stay atop the Eastern Conference. A few other games to talk about briefly. The Panthers shut out the Hurricanes 2-0. Calgary beats the Minnesota Wild 4-3. Aginla gets his 29th of the year for Calgary. The Capitals shut out the Maple Leafs 2-0. The Blues beat the Blue Jackets 2-1. The Devils beat the Flyers 4-1. Patrick Elias with his 24th, Parisi with his 28th, Kovalchuk with his 30th, obviously the 3 scoring stars for the Devils who are playing much better. And the Kings beat the Blackhawks 3-2. Carter gets his 19th for the Kings. Those are your NHL scores. Want to get briefly to the TV for tonight. Obviously, this is the night before the NCAA tournament starts, so no college tonight. But in basketball, the ESPN game nationally, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 out on the coast. The Celtics, who had that tough loss to the Lakers yesterday, stay in Los Angeles and play the Clippers. That's 10:30 Eastern on ESPN. If you get the YES Network, the Bucks at the Nets, 7:30 Eastern. If you get the MSG Network, and ESPN, the first half of their doubleheader nationally, MSG in New York. The Knicks at the Bulls, 8 o'clock Eastern. And again, the Knicks kind of on a free fall, 0-5. Doesn't get any easier tonight as they go back-to-back after losing this to the 76ers. In New York, they fly to Chicago. They get Derrick Rose and the Bulls. And you know, I hate to say it, but Derrick Rose is laying in wait for Jeremy Lin. Knicks at Bulls, 8 p.m. Eastern tonight. One game in hockey on the NBC Sports Channel, which I think everyone now has understood is Versus. We'll just go NBC Sports Channel from now, 9 o'clock Eastern. The Ducks in Colorado to play the Avalanche. Exhibition baseball, if you're into that, because that's hot and heavy. Obviously, I love baseball. It's the greatest, in my view. If you're heavy into it, today, 1:30 Eastern on ESPN, the Miami Marlins play the Red Sox. Again, two teams you might want to take a look at. Obviously, the Marlins with tons of changes and potentially a very good team in that NL East. Ozzie Guillen, their new manager. Jose Reyes, their new shortstop. Can Hanley Ramirez move over to third? That should be an interesting game if you like watching exhibition baseball. Personally, I'm not a big exhibition baseball guy or exhibition anything guy, but that would be an interesting one to watch. At 4 o'clock Eastern on the MLB Network, Arizona Diamondbacks play the Cleveland Indians, two other interesting teams, frankly. The Indians made a bit of a run last year. The Diamondbacks, of course, one of the surprise teams in the National League. So those are two interesting baseball games as well. That's your TV for tonight. We'll talk more about the tournament. Again, personally, I think the tournament really doesn't start till Thursday, till you've had those four play-in games. And I'll keep calling them play-in. I don't care if they call it the first round. That's absurd. But an exciting time. Lots going on in sports. And we'll be covering it right here on the Steve Callis Show. This is the Steve Callis Show. We're at SportsTalkNetwork.com.